In Acts 13 and 14, details are given concerning Saul's or Paul's first missionary trip. Saul and Barnabas were set apart by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by the church in Antioch of Syria. Accompanied by John Mark, they traveled from Antioch to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed to Salamis in eastern Cyprus. They then traveled by land through Cyprus, preaching the gospel in the Jewish synagogues as they made their way to Paphos in southwestern Cyprus, where they encountered Sergius Paulus, the governmental official in charge of Cyprus, who believed the gospel in spite of opposition from Elymas the sorcerer. As we look at the background and commissioning of the missionary journey in verses 1 through 3, some prophets and teachers, including Barnabas and Saul, were serving in the church at Antioch. They were serving the Lord. And the Holy Spirit told them to set Barnabas and Saul apart for a special work to which he had called them. After fasting and praying, they laid hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them on their missionary journey. We read in Acts 13, 1 through 3, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Verse 1 indicates that the church at Antioch had several prophets and teachers in the congregation, and names Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Now continues this narrative. "There were" is simply "were," and it describes an existing situation in past time. "In the church that was at Antioch" is a combination of two phrases in the Greek text: "in Antioch" and "in the congregation which was there." Certain prophets and teachers were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain reflects an indefinite number, and it's understood in the sense of some or several. Now, we don't know that every one of those prophets and teachers was listed among these five, or whether they were the only ones. What we know is that these five were there. Prophets are those who received divine revelation directly from the Lord and shared it with others. You must understand that this gift is no longer given since the New Testament had been completed. Now, I know, some people think that preachers are prophets because they are telling forth the word. That's an incorrect understanding of what is required to be a prophet. First of all, He had to be one that received divine revelation directly from the Lord, not from the scriptures, but directly from the Lord. And that ceased to be given when the New Testament was completed. Therefore, there are no prophets. So if you're looking around for a prophet in this congregation, you're looking in vain. There isn't one. Teachers, that's another matter. We have four different men that teach this church regularly. We're thankful for those four. It's interesting. None of them are called preachers. Isn't that interesting? I know that's what is common around here, but they were teachers. What's wrong with having teachers in a church? Isn't that a problem in some independent Baptist circles that they think we're not supposed to be teachers, but only preachers? Maybe we ought to read the Bible a little closer. We'd find out some things that maybe we have missed. Teachers instructed the believers. Of course, they also instructed unbelievers in the truths of the gospel. This gift is still given today. We have teachers. Several names are listed. There's Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Of this group, we're familiar with Barnabas and Saul, but we're not familiar with Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen from other parts in the scriptures. Barnabas, whose name means son of consolation or son of encouragement, was a Levite from Cyprus who had sold land and given the proceeds of the sale to the apostles. Have you noticed that a lot of Hebrew names start with the word bar, or the three letters bar, and others start with ben? Why? Because that's the name son, bar, son. Barnabas, son of Nabas, whoever he was. We don't know who he was. Benjamin, okay? Again, you have the two words, they're both Hebrew words meaning son. And of course, when you have a son of consolation, it tells you that this was a very consoling or encouraging individual. It was descriptive of what he was. He had owned land in Cyprus and had sold it and gave the proceeds of the sale to the apostles. He had introduced Saul to the apostles in chapter 9, and when news of many being saved in Antioch reached Jerusalem, Barnabas was sent by the church at Jerusalem to Antioch. After arriving in Antioch and seeing the need, Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul's help and accompanied him back to Antioch, where he and Saul taught the people for a whole year. As a result of the famine in Judea, Barnabas and Saul were sent to Judea to bring relief to the believers there, and they subsequently returned to Antioch. Simeon is described as that was called Niger, the one called or named Niger. Niger means black. He's unknown in the Bible except for this text. Was his skin black? Why would anyone think anything different from this statement? Lucius of Cyrene is Lucius the Cyrenian. He's also unknown in the biblical record except for this text. He was from Cyrene, which was located in northern Africa in modern-day Libya. Manaen is described by which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. He's likewise unknown in the biblical record except for this text. Which had been brought up with is the translation of a single Greek word. Interesting. Six English words to translate one Greek word. Where are these people that think it's a one-to-one ratio? They don't know anything about Greek, and they don't know much about English, I can assure you. which had been brought up with is the translation of a single Greek word which pertains to being brought up with someone, either as a foster brother or as a companion or friend in the sense of a foster brother, companion from one's youth, or intimate friend. Herod the Tetrarch was Herod Antipas. He's not the same one who died in chapter 12. Herod Antipas ruled Galilee at the time of Christ's public ministry. Although Menahem and Herod would have known each other well, the specific relationship of the two is not clear. Saul would eventually become known as the Apostle Paul, and we're very familiar with him. In verse 2, the Holy Spirit told them to separate Barnabas and Saul for a special work to which he had called them, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." As they ministered to the Lord and fasted is used in conjunction with said, indicating time. The tense of both ministered and fasted indicates that their actions were ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of said. They refers to the prophets and teachers named in verse 1, to Barnabas, to Simeon, to Lucius, to Menahem, and to Saul. As they ministered to the Lord is understood in the sense of while, or while they were ministering to, while they were serving, or while they were worshiping the Lord. The Lord, of course, is a reference to Jesus, and fasted, which means, and while they were going without food, or as and while fasting, or and while they were fasting. Again, ongoing action in past time. The Holy Ghost is literally the Spirit, the Holy One, and refers, as you would understand, to God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Said suggests that he spoke audibly to them. At least some of them were prophets who had the spiritual gift of receiving revelation directly from God. And what he said is an example of special revelation. What he said is, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It serves to invite attention to what is said. Separate me, where me refers to the Holy Spirit, is set apart, separate, or appoint to me or for me. And its tense indicates that this was to be done at once and without delay. Barnabas and Saul indicates that this call was not for everyone in general, but for these two individuals specifically. You know, God hasn't called every believer to be a foreign missionary. God hasn't called everybody to be a pastor or to be a teacher. God has an individual place for you. Some of you must understand, because the Bible teaches that God has not called any of you ladies to be a pastor. Oh, but what about these women that are in the clergy? They're out of God's will. It's very simple. They don't qualify. Somehow, being the husband, being the wife of one man doesn't seem to fit, although in today's society, who knows what goes on out there in moral matters. We know that's not right. Separate specifically both Barnabas and Saul. For the work is unto the work, or unto the task, and whereunto I have called them. is in which I have called them to, or to which I have summoned them, and it indicates that their call was specific. Now, here's something we can pick up from this. It illustrates the biblical principle that believers should be serving the Lord wherever they are, and that if the Lord wants them to move to a different ministry, he knows where they are and how to contact them. Now, it's very unlikely that those who were not already serving the Lord will be called to any greater service. At the same time, it is apparent that the Lord directed the others, meaning Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, to stay in Antioch and to continue serving him there in that ministry. God's will is individual. We must be what God wants us to be as individuals and to be serving him wherever we are, while doing whatever it is that he wants us to be doing. And when we're doing that, he may call some of us to something else, and he may not. I was called out of my own local church or my home church. I was not called to preach. I know I keep hearing that. Where's that in the Bible except with John the Baptist? I was called to be a pastor. Pastoring is a whole lot more than preaching. I know some people don't understand that, but that's all right. They can go ahead and be ignorant still. Verse 3 indicates that they laid hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them on their missionary journey. Now, how much time occurred between verse 2 and 3 is not stated, but it would soon seem to be fairly quickly. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Consider that it takes 5 years these days to get a missionary from his being commissioned to being able to, or at least from being starting out on deputation to get the needed funds to go out on the mission field. Something seems wrong with our procedure. It really does. And I don't have the solution for it, by the way, but it just doesn't seem to me to be the way God would be wanting us to do things. And is a word often translated then, meaning at that time or thereupon, and it introduces what follows after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them. It's used in conjunction with they sent them away. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them is used in conjunction with set away. Sent away. The tense of fasted, of prayed, and of laid indicates that their actions all occurred before the action of sent away. And it's understood in the sense of having or after they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. The identity of they is not clear, but it would seem to be at least Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, who were the leaders in the church in Antioch, who were representing the church. But it's not clear if others also laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul. The church, represented by its leaders, was obeying the command of the Holy Spirit in verse 2. Their fasting indicated the seriousness of their prayer, and their prayer would appear to have been specifically for Barnabas and Saul as they were about to embark on this new phase in their ministry for the Lord. They laid their hands on them, suggests that Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, and perhaps a few others from the church, put or placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul as they set them apart for the work to which the Holy Spirit had called them. By doing this, they were acknowledging their agreement with the Holy Spirit's call of Barnabas and Saul, and also they were acknowledging their support of them both in this endeavor. The act of laying their hands on Barnabas and Saul indicates that they approved of them and of their new ministry. They sent them away, suggests that they dismissed them or permitted them to go. As we move into verses 4 and 5, we see the trip from Antioch to Seleucia and then to Salamis. Through the church at Antioch, the Holy Spirit sent Barnabas and Saul forth on their missionary journey. They left for Seleucia, the seaport of Antioch, that's on the Mediterranean, and then sailed to the island of Cyprus at Salamis, which is in eastern Cyprus. They proclaimed the gospel in the Jewish synagogues with John Mark accompanying them as their helper. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Whereas verse 3 indicates that Barnabas and Saul had been sent away by the church at Antioch, verse 4 indicates that they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit, and both are correct. The Holy Spirit led the church in Antioch through its leadership to send Barnabas and Saul forth on their missionary journey, and they went to Seleucia, which was the seaport of Antioch, and then sailed from Seleucia to the island of Cyprus. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence, meaning from there, they sailed to Cyprus. So is the combination of two words in the Greek text, which together indicate a continuation of the narrative in the sense of so, as it's translated, or then. They would be Barnabas and Saul. Being sent forth is used in conjunction with departed, and it's indicating time or perhaps cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of departed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of having been or after they were sent out. If showing cause, it would be understood in the sense of because they were sent out. In either case, they were sent out by the Holy Ghost, literally by the Spirit, the Holy One, and indicates direct agency. He is the one who sent Barnabas and Saul on this missionary trip. What did Mama have to do with it? Nothing. Might Mama send somebody out as a missionary? Unfortunately, yes. It's not right. It needs to be the Holy Spirit who sends somebody out. We need to be careful that we don't push people into missions that God has not called. Let God decide who goes. What about volunteering? Listen, the volunteering for Christian work takes place when Romans 12, 2 and 1 and 2 are practiced. We give ourselves to the Lord and we stop being conformed to the world and we are continuing to be transformed. Wherever we are, we volunteer. And what does the Lord do with most of us? Leaves us right where we were and allows us to continue serving him right there at that time. Some of us, he calls out of that church and sends us elsewhere. But we volunteer for the Lord's service whenever we dedicate our lives to the Lord, and his service may be serving the Lord in the church nursery, or serving the Lord with the children's ministry, or serving the Lord as a mom or as a dad. You're still serving the Lord. Just be where God wants you to be. Be doing what God wants you to be doing. Be what he wants you to be, and be where he wants you to be. Well, here, two of them are being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Departed unto Seleucia. They went down or descended unto Seleucia. Well, why did they go down? Well, Seleucia's at a lower elevation than where they were. They're in Antioch. Seleucia was a seaport on the Mediterranean, located about 16 miles from Antioch, whereas Seleucia was at sea level, Antioch was not. They descended in elevation to Seleucia, and from thence means from there, meaning from Seleucia. They sailed to Cyprus, where they refers to Barnabas and Saul, as they sailed away to Cyprus, an island located in the northeast Mediterranean Sea, where Barnabas was from. What do you suppose they were thinking when they got on that ship? Might they have been thinking, what have we gotten ourselves into? I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they were all excited about the possibilities that awaited them. Who knows? What would you be thinking? I miss my mommy. I miss my daddy. I miss my whatever. I miss my home church. I can assure you that while you may miss your home church, you're excited about what the Lord has called you to do. So, according to Acts 11:20, some believers who had been scattered as a result of the persecution in Jerusalem had already gone to Cyprus, where they had proclaimed the gospel message. Acts 11:20 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice," that's Phoenicia, "and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word, but to none but unto the Jews only." But God didn't have them limiting things to the Jews only. Ultimately, it started out with the Jews, but spread to the Gentiles. So we move on to verse 5. "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. When they were at Salamis," which is a large city on the eastern side of Cyprus, it's used in conjunction with preached, indicating time. And its action occurred at the same time as the action of preached. They preached as they were preaching. They were proclaiming, or they were announcing, and it suggests that it was being done publicly. It might indicate the beginning of their preaching and be understood in the sense of they began preaching. They began proclaiming, or they began announcing, and that would have merit in that this was the first stop, and they would make additional stops as they would work their way west on the island of Cyprus. And what they were preaching was the word of God, the message of God, which would be the gospel message. In the synagogues of the Jews suggests that their audiences were Jewish. Of course, there might have been some proselytes there. The synagogues were places where Jews gathered to worship God, and they had also John to their minister. It introduces another individual who accompanied them on this portion of their missionary trip. He is John Mark. According to Acts 12:25, John, whose surname was Mark, had accompanied Barnabas and Saul from Jerusalem to Antioch after their famine visit. He would eventually write the Gospel of Mark. It was in his mother's home where Peter went after Peter was released from jail by the angel of the Lord. Unfortunately, before he would write the Gospel of Mark on this missionary trip in Acts 13 and 14, he would abandon them in Pamphylia and not complete this missionary trip. Was he out of God's will in being on this trip in the first place? Was he out of God's will when he abandoned them in Pamphylia? Or was he in God's will in both places? And I don't know the answer to that, but it certainly raised some problems between Paul and Barnabas later on. John Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. He's referred to as sister's son, which means cousin, to Barnabas in Colossians 4:10. The tense of they had also, where they refers to Barnabas and Saul, indicates ongoing action in past time in the sense of they were also having. To their minister is as a servant or as an assistant or as a helper. He was there to help. And he did while they were in Cyprus. But when they got over to the mainland, he decided it was time to abandon them. According to verses 6 through 12, we see the prophets going through Cyprus to Paphos. After traveling through Cyprus from east to west, while proclaiming the gospel in various places and arriving in Paphos, Barnabas and Saul met Bar-Jesus. See that bar at the front of that? A Jewish false prophet. He was also known as Elymas, the sorcerer. They also met Sergius Paulus, the chief governmental official in Cyprus, who desired to hear the word of God. Elymas set himself in opposition to Barnabas and Saul and sought to turn Sergius Paulus away from faith in Christ. But Saul rebuked Elymas, who was then temporarily blinded. As a result, Sergius Paulus believed the gospel message Saul and Barnabas had proclaimed. We read in verses 6 through 12 about these events. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Well, according to verse 6, after traveling through Cyprus, where they were proclaiming the gospel message from east to west, and arriving in Paphos, they met Bar-Jesus, a Jewish false prophet. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos is used in conjunction with found, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of found. When they had gone through is understood, therefore, in the sense of after they went about from place to place. The isle is the island. As they went about from place to place, from east to west in Cyprus, they were proclaiming the gospel message wherever they went. Unto Paphos is as far as Paphos, a city on the west coast of the island of Cyprus. They found a certain sorcerer. Means they found a certain magician. A sorcerer was someone who practiced magic arts. He had the ability to perform certain feats and to gain wisdom or knowledge through demonic means. He is described as a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. According to verse 8, he's also known as Elymas the sorcerer. He's described as a false prophet, someone who falsely claims to be a prophet of God, or someone who prophesies falsely. He was also a Jew rather than a Gentile, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Joshua or son of Jesus. The name Joshua is the Hebrew spelling. Jesus is the Greek spelling, but it's the same name. According to verse 7, Saul and Barnabas met Sergius Paulus in Paphos, a man who desired to hear the word of God. But Bar-Jesus was with him, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God, which is who refers to Bar-Jesus, who's also known as Elymas the sorcerer, who was with indicates continuing action in past time. He was there all the time. It describes an existing situation at the time Saul and Barnabas encountered Sergius Paulus. The sorcerer was associated with Sergius Paulus as his attendant. If you want to have an attendant, don't get some buddy like Bar-Jesus, okay? Sergius Paulus is described as the deputy of the country, which means he was the proconsul or consul of Cyprus. As such, he was the head of the Roman senatorial province of Cyprus. He was the governmental official in charge of Cyprus. He was the top man in Cyprus governmentally. Sergius Paulus is further described as a prudent man, a man who understands with discernment, an intelligent man, a sagacious man, a wise man, a man with good sense. Man here is used of an adult male. Who is this one? And refers specifically to Sergius Paulus, who called for Barnabas and Saul, suggests he summoned or invited them. Somehow he heard about them. It's used in conjunction with desired, indicating a fact in addition to desired, and its action occurred at the same time as the action of desired. He desired to hear the word of God. Good for him. He sought, or he wanted, to hear and understand the message of God. He wanted Barnabas and Saul to explain the gospel message to him. However, Bar-Jesus tried to get him in the way. According to verse 8, Bar-Jesus sought to turn Sergius Paulus away from faith in Christ. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to Sergius Paulus' desire to hear the word of God in verse 7. Elymas the sorcerer is Bar-Jesus the magician. He was someone, as I've already said, who practiced magic arts through demonic means. For so is his name by interpretation is a parenthetical statement which provides additional information regarding Elymas without advancing the narrative. It is, for thus his name is translated. This indicates that the name Elymas means sorcerer. Elymas, or sorcerer, withstood them. Is Elymas was withstanding. He kept setting himself in opposition to. He repeatedly set himself against, or he kept opposing them, meaning opposing Saul and Barnabas. The tense of withstood indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. Seeking is used in conjunction with withstood, indicating cause, maybe time, maybe manner. Its tense indicates that its action was occurring at the same time as the action of withstood. It's understood in the sense of aiming or trying. If showing cause, it would be understood in the sense of because he was seeking, because he was aiming, or because he was trying. If showing time, it would be understood in the sense of while he was seeking, while he was aiming, or while he was trying. If showing manner, it would be understood in the sense of by seeking, by aiming, or by trying. He's trying to turn away the deputy from the faith. That indicates what Elymas was seeking to do. To turn away suggests that he was attempting to cause uncertainty regarding the gospel message or to mislead. He was trying to hinder the gospel message so that Sergius Paulus would not accept it. From the faith, I skipped the deputy. He's the proconsul, referring to Sergius Paulus. From the faith means from Christianity. When someone wants to hear the gospel message, it's not at all uncommon for Satan to have someone else seek to hinder his being saved. Okay, we know that. According to verse 9, Saul stared at Bar-Jesus in preparation for rebuking him. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Then continues the narrative. Saul, who also is called Paul, is literally Saul, also Paul. It identifies Saul with a second name by which he was known. No verb appears in the Greek text, so something had to be supplied, and the translators have supplied his called, as you can tell by the italics. They might instead have supplied the word is or is known as. It would mean the same thing. The Greek word translated Paul means small or little. Might it refer to his size? I don't know what else it would refer to, but that's what the word means. And maybe it was not descriptive, but anyway, that's what it means. And Saul is thought to be rather small of stature. So can you see this little guy rebuking Peter, a great big man, eventually in Galatians? He had plenty of courage. From this point on in the book of Acts, Saul is referred to as Paul, except in Acts 22 and 26, where he's rehearsing his salvation experience while on the road to Damascus. Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost, is having been filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled is used in conjunction with said in verse 10, indicating a fact in addition to said, and its action occurred before the action of said. It suggests that all was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Set his eyes on him, where his refers to Saul or Paul, and where him refers to Elymas the sorcerer, is used in conjunction with said in verse 10. Indicating a fact in addition to said. Its action likewise occurred before the action of said. In verses 10 and 11, Paul rebuked Bar-Jesus in no uncertain terms for corrupting the straight way of the Lord. And he said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And said indicates that Saul or Paul said. Paul addresses Elymas the sorcerer as, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness or of all righteousness." "O" expresses emotion at the beginning of his remarks to Elymas. full of, is filled with, and speaks of a characteristic quality. All subtlety is all guile, all deceit, all cunning, or all treachery. All suggests every kind of or all sorts of. Not only was he full of all subtlety, he was also full of all mischief. Mischief speaks of an endeavor to gain some personal end through clever or tricky means, in the sense of chicanery, wickedness, villainy, deceit, fraud, unscrupulousness. He was a con artist. We wouldn't know what that means. Thou child of the devil. We know what that means too, don't we? You son of the devil, or you son of the slanderer. As such, he was a false accuser or slanderous individual. Thou has been supplied by the translators in reference to Elymas. Thou enemy of all righteousness. Is you enemy of every sort or of all kinds of righteousness? Elymas was in opposition to everything that is righteous. Again, thou has been supplied by the translators, as you can tell by the italics, in reference to Elymas. Wilt thou not cease to pervert? Will you not stop perverting or making crooked the right ways of the Lord, the straight or proper ways of the Lord, where the Lord is Christ? In verse 11, Paul's scathing rebuke of Bar-Jesus continues with Bar-Jesus being blinded for a time and having to seek others to lead him around. I'm sure you probably had some people you wish you could do that too, but the Lord didn't give you that privilege or power. But Paul was an apostle, and he had opportunities to do things that were miraculous that we cannot do. And of course, don't forget, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was involved in this. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And now behold is used to enliven Elymas' attention. He got his attention all right. The hand of the Lord is upon thee. The Lord's hand is upon you, and suggests that Elymas is about to experience something unpleasant from the Lord, and thou shalt be blind. It's predictive of something which Elymas was about to experience. Not seeing the sun for a season, meaning for a while, indicates that Elymas' blindness was only going to be temporary. How long this blindness lasted is not known, but it demonstrated that the Lord was more powerful than the demon behind Elymas' sorcery. And immediately, how quick is immediately? It sounds like it happened really fast, doesn't it? There fell on him a mist and a darkness. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell on him, meaning fell on Elymas. Immediately suggests instantly or at once, that there was no delay between Paul's words to Elymas and Elymas' blindness. A mist is something that comes in like a fog and obscures the vision. And a darkness also came on Elymas, and it speaks of his inability to see anything, including light. A mist and a darkness fell on him, suggests that they came on Elymas. And he went about seeking some. Notice it doesn't say someone. That's because some is plural. He went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. It refers to what Elymas was doing. He went about is used in conjunction with a verb translated seeking. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to seeking. Its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of seeking. He went about as he was going around. Inasmuch as blindness had just come on him, he was undoubtedly attempting to feel his way around. And if he's out in the middle of some place where there's nothing to touch, he would really be disoriented, wouldn't he? Seeking is actually the verb in the Greek text, and its tense denotes continuing action in past time. He was seeking. What he was seeking was some to lead him by the hand. One word in the Greek text, translated by seven words in the King James Bible, meaning some people who lead others by the hand, or leaders. What happened to Elymas after this, whether he was saved ever, or how long his blindness lasted, is not stated. But you can believe that it was long enough for him to get the message. According to verse 12, when Sergius Paulus saw what had happened to Bar-Jesus or Elymas, he believed the gospel message and Barnabas and Saul had proclaimed. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Although Bar-Jesus attempted to turn Sergius Paulus away from faith in Christ, in verse 8, we see that Satan is not able to prevent someone who really wants to hear and to understand the gospel message from hearing and understanding it and from being genuinely saved. Oh yes, he may get in the way for a while, but if he wants to be saved, he's going to get saved. You understand that? God, the Holy Spirit, is going to see to that. Then is thereupon, and introduces what took place after Elymas the sorcerer was blinded. The deputy, meaning the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, what he saw is used in conjunction with believed, indicating time. And its action occurred just before the action of believed. It's understood in the sense of having seen, or after he saw. And what he saw was what was done, the thing which had happened, meaning Elymas blinding. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before Sergius Paulus believed, and that it was at this time an ongoing result. Elymas was still blind, but when Sergius Paulus saw that he had been blinded, he believed the gospel. He believed the gospel message and trusted Christ as his Savior, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, is used in conjunction with believed, indicating cause. Its action occurred before the action of believed, and it's understood in the sense of because he was amazed, overwhelmed, astounded, or perhaps dumbfounded at the doctrine of the Lord, where the Lord refers to Christ, and it means in our English language today, at the teaching about the Lord. Now we've seen that God the Holy Spirit directed the church at Antioch to send Barnabas and Saul, two men, as missionaries. Men who were already serving the Lord, and that the first leg of this mission took them through the island of Cyprus. There they encountered Sergius Paulus. There they encountered satanic opposition from Elymas the sorcerer. As a result, they also saw the salvation of Sergius Paulus, the Roman proconsul on the island of Cyprus. He was a prudent man who desired to hear the word of God. Now remember, God took two men and sent them out, men who were already serving the Lord in that local church. We need to be serving the Lord. Let him worry about what he does with us. We serve the Lord where we are, doing what he wants us to be doing. And sometimes he will take somebody and call him into a service somewhere else. That's fine. Because if it's God's will for him to be somewhere else, it's not God's will for him to stay here. You understand how that works. At the same time, when you go out and you present the gospel, doesn't matter whether you're doing it here in Hendersonville or somewhere else, you're liable to encounter some opposition. It's not unusual. But remember that God is greater, the one that's in you, than he that's in the world. And he can deal with that person, and that person can still get saved in spite of satanic opposition. Well, I trust that's been helpful to you. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that we can study this portion of thy word, and thank you that we can see meaning in there for us to shape our thinking regarding God's calling people into his service and regarding opposition that we may someday face. We ask that you will meet the needs of each person here. Thank you that the Lord Jesus loved us and died on the cross and paid for all of our sins and rose again from the dead. And our Father, I pray that each one here would be truly born again. If there's somebody who's not, I pray, our Father, that he would do something about it this day. In Jesus' name, amen.